They can see how great of a God you are, but how we respond and how we trust you and how we lean on you when the days don't go well. And Father, we just thank you for the promises you have in your word. We thank you for all that you have blessed us with every day. And Father, most of all, we thank you for loving us enough to include us in your plan. And Father, we just thank you. We praise you as we study tonight. May you just open our hearts and our minds. May you speak through your word tonight. God, we pray this in your son's name. Amen. All right, turn back in your Bibles to Romans chapter 15. We're getting close as we study to the end of the book of Romans, but as we look at this evening, we're still looking at, as we started in chapter 15, verse 14, we started with the concept of Paul's philosophy of ministry. And thus far, we've seen his realizing that his wantingness, his call into the ministry, and how he continues to giving God the credit for all of his ministry. And Paul was one that did not take his calling lightly. When we have the calling of God, and I think we need to understand that back in the day, most of the time when you heard somebody talk about the calling of God, they were talking about, you know, those going into full-time ministry, or those going into mission work, or, you know, those individuals that are called by God to do a special service for God. But in reality, every one of us are called by God. I think we are at our salvation. We're called by God to be part of the family. We're called by God to represent him well. We're called by God to share his story. And some have a special calling of God to be able to be that missionary, that pastor, that one that teaches the word of truth. And with that calling comes tremendous responsibility. And that's why scripture says, as Paul wrote to Timothy and Titus, you know, don't let a novice or a young person in Christ, don't let them in those positions. And it's not because they weren't smart enough. It's because they're going to get beat up. And until you have a solid foundation of your calling in God and the truth of God, it's hard to be in ministry. It's hard to be serving God in any capacity. Because whether you're a missionary across seas and all the sacrifices you do and the challenges you have in a third world, or pastors here trying to deal with the evils of the world and all the things that are going on around the church and around the children of God, and it's just hard to be in ministry. So Paul took his calling very, very seriously. And so we have seen that, and as we studied last week about he was therefore glorying in verse 17 and 19, that boasting basically in Jesus Christ and his service to God. Paul was boasting Christ. He was boasting that Christ put him where he was, and therefore giving him all the glory and the praise in the verses to follow. So tonight, we want to pick it up in verse 20 and go through a couple verses. So I want to read verse 20, 21, and 22. It says in Romans 15, verse 20, "Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he has not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand, for which cause I also have been much hindered from coming to you." So in that text, Paul now again, basically, because of the geographical references about not being able to go to him and where he's at now, basically, he gives a philosophy of the outreach of his ministry. Not only did he have a philosophy of ministry, the calling, the praising God for putting him there, and then giving God the glory for all the results of his ministry, he now goes into a philosophy of the outreach of his ministry. And it's interesting to see his words. First of all, as he listed there, it has always been, in verse 20, "I've strived," or "it's always been my ambition," or it's been my desire to preach the gospel, which is what he was called, "preach the gospel not where Christ was named." Paul said, "I don't want to go where people have already heard about him. I want to go where they haven't heard about him." And that took Paul on all his missionary journeys. That took Paul in all the different locations that we find him in through each one of his journeys. And that's why he had such a desire to go where Christ wasn't preached yet that it stopped him from going to Rome where he already was preached. And we know as Paul, again, interesting as he says that, Paul basically, his purpose was to be the true pioneer for the gospel message. And I saw a saying, and it said, you know, don't walk the path where others have walked. Walk where they haven't and leave a trail. Leave the path. And so we get this concept that we have the opportunity in our spiritual life that we can leave a trail, leave a path behind us that leads people to Christ. And so, and Paul had a desire to go where they haven't heard. And I don't know if that means it was easier. Because when they haven't heard about Christ, they may be more willing to listen about Christ. Those who have heard the message and already denied it, they're waiting. They're waiting for him. They're coming at him with all the different reasons why that doesn't work and going back into the legalism, going back into the letter of the law, going back into all the other things. And Paul says, I want to go. And it's almost like he wants to go to the newness, the freshness. And if you've been around people who have accepted Christ, man, I'm going to tell you what, that is a contagious, fresh joy and a fresh desire and a power. Man, they are ready to go out and conquer the world for about a week or two. Then reality hits. And you know what happens? They get around other Christians. And the other Christian says, you can't do that. You can't. Wow, that's too much. Yeah, no, you can't do that. Instead of saying, you know what, if God stirs you, go for it. If God moves you, go. And helping them in that way. So Paul liked, again, he liked to be the pioneer of it. He liked to be the newness of it, where no one was named. Again, least I should build upon another man's foundation. Paul said, I don't want people to think I'm preaching anything from man. And that's true through his life. He said, I don't come to the Corinthian church. I don't come with the enticing words. I don't come with all the knowledge that Paul had. Now, I believe if Paul was a Sadducee, he was one of the Sadducees with a group that knew the law of the Old Testament and made sure they adhered to the law. They were like the lawyers, the religious lawyers for the religion. And so Paul had a very, very, very good understanding of the letter of the law and the laws and all that they entailed. But Paul said, I didn't come to speak that. In fact, Paul said many times, I came and I worked. I didn't ask for your money. I worked among you so that you couldn't say that I'm doing this for the money. I'm doing this for your support. Or I'm speaking in a way that brings power to me. Paul said, I always preached so that you could see the power of God through me. I'm going to tell you, it's amazing the understanding that Paul had. Paul knew how to get out of the way. And I really believe that's how he learned to be content. Because Paul wasn't looking at the success rate. Paul wasn't looking at the size of the church or the size of the building or the bottom line of the budget. Paul was looking at, I've been called into a ministry. I am blessed by God to be here, giving him all the glory. And I want to go where they haven't heard. I want to go where they need to know. Paul loved the freshness and the newness of ministry. To me, that says we need to get outside the walls of church. We need to go out there where they're at to the people who never heard before. And you know who that group of people is? Our kids. The young people of our world today. And in fact, I heard it this way today, and it's quite interesting. There's a series of things I'm going to check out and look into. But it said, what questions are asked by what generation? And so it went to the baby boomers. They were asking questions about God and questions about this, and it was easier to talk to. Well, then the next generation, the X's, the L's, I don't know how many X's are. I don't know what letter the alphabet are in right now. But anyway, the further you get from that, the next generation wanted to ask if it was real. They didn't want you to tell them. They wanted to know if God was real. He wanted to show them. And then the next generation, down even further, one wanted to know about God, one didn't want to know if he was real, and the next generation, that would probably be my grandkids possibly, they want to know if God is good. Those are the questions they're asking. They're asking the questions, and the problem is we go to them and we witness to them, and we don't listen to their questions. We just give them the answers we want to give them. And in the back of their mind, they're saying, but that's not what I want to know. That's not what I'm asking. I won't want to know how bad I am until I know how good he is. And so it challenged me. And then again, studying through this, I'm like, man, that's Paul. Paul wanted to go where they had the questions about who he is. How good is he? What can he do? And how much can he help me through my everyday life? And I think the middle generation there, which would probably be my kids, not my grandkids, that middle generation has a deal about they want to know if he's real. Why would that generation have that question? Possibly because they saw their parents' and grandparents' generation go to church and not really live out what they believed at home, at the workplace. Is he real? Do you believe God has your back? Do you believe God's going to take care of you? Then mom and dad, why are you worrying so much? Or mom and dad, why are you trying to do this when you already prayed in family devos to give it to God? Why are you still working with it? And I wonder if we showed them through our trying to live the life the best we can, even though we missed it sometimes, if we showed them that God may not be as real as we proclaim. That's why they asked that question. And now you have a world, just look at what is going on in our world. The abortions, the shootings, goodness gracious, how many shootings there were this weekend. All the things that are going on in our world and all the evil, all the lies and all the thievery and all the, from the highest all the way down through, the stuff that's going on. Is God good? Because I don't see good anywhere else. They're asking the right questions. Why? Because of where they're living. They're living in the world that teaches them there is no good in this world. There's no hope. There's nothing for me to have. Now, you're talking about a God. I first want to know if he's good, and then you can talk to me about everything else. We need to listen to their questions. Paul loved to go where they had questions. And I thought, okay, why doesn't the church people have questions? Or do we just have answers? Are we more about telling them instead of having our own questions to God? Have we become a generation that stop asking the right questions to God? Listen, you want a better way to study your Bible? There's no better way than to ask God questions. Because when you ask questions, you don't ask questions just for the answer. You ask questions so you have better questions. And those lead to better questions. Because the deeper you question, the deeper you go, the better the questions become. And sooner or later, the answer that you come up with is a God that really is good. And a God that really loves us. And a God that is good enough and big enough and real enough. And a God that will change your life completely. Listen to their questions. Some of you have opportunity to listen to some of those questions. Have some listen to some of the people around you and experiment with that. Pick out a certain generation, pick a certain age group. And ask their question, you know, what is your greatest question about God? And you may end up being surprised at some of those questions. They want to know if he's real. They want to know if he's good. And they want to know who he is. But we got to listen to their questions. Paul loved that. And I wanted to add that in there in that verse because Paul strived. He had a desire. He had an ambition, or his goal was to preach the gospel to people who never heard. And that's pretty phenomenal. But again, he explains so that he wouldn't build on another man's foundation. And then in verse 21, it's interesting because as he plans his outreach goal, he now goes into verse 21 and gives you his ministry philosophy. This is now the ministry of his life. Look at verse 21. But as it is written, to whom he has not spoken of, they shall see. And they that have not heard shall understand. What he's doing is he's expressing his ministry goal by quoting the second part of Isaiah 52:15. he's quoting scripture saying, this is why I go to people who've never heard. Why? Because to whom he was not spoken of, they'll see. Those who didn't know about him will get a chance to know him. And then it says, and it finishes up, they have not heard, but they're going to understand. Paul said, I want to go. And he was an evangelist. He was a soul winner. He was going out to win those who have never heard for the first time the gospel message. And I think it's phenomenal how he lays out not only his goal of outreach, but expresses his ministry goals, and he wants to be able to go out there and see them. So in verse 21, it's pretty clear that his goal was because they didn't hear, because they need to hear. And then in verse 22, for which cause I have been much hindered from coming to you. He's wanted to go to them from the very beginning. In fact, we can go to chapter 1, verse 10. And Paul's saying, I'm going to come to you. I want to visit you. And then verse 11 and verse 13, Paul continued to plan to go and visit them. But Paul said, you know, it's not, I want to come see you. I want to come visit you. I want to encourage you in ministry. I want to do all these things to you. But my number one priority takes precedence. My ministry. My going out to seeking those who haven't never heard. And so when Paul begins to set, again, his philosophy of ministry, his goals, his endeavor, outreach, ministry, and everything else, what he's saying is a calling of God takes priority over everything. It takes priority over your job, your family, your spouse, your kids, everything. It's your calling that comes first. Now, I'm not saying, because I know what Billy Sunday, I believe, quoted that, you know, when he saved the whole world, then lose your own children. Billy Sunday was a man who started Sunday school. He was a man who went out and did many great things for God. But every one of his kids turned their back on God because God took their dad away from them. And God didn't take their dad. Their dad didn't know how to balance ministry and fatherhood. And so he stated himself, you've got to be, yeah, you got to have a desire, you got to go out there, but the priority is your calling of God. And that goes with how you live for God, how you respond to God, the things you go do, the things that you won't let them do. You know, when the scripture says your yes, yes, and your no, no, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, when the scripture says that, there's a good reason for that. Because that's the generation that wants to know, is God real? Because I don't believe I've seen that lived out in front of me all the time. And that renewal challenged me, because that's my generation and a little bit older. That, you know, did we live a life where God wasn't as real through our lives as he was through our mouth? And so now they're questioning, you know, this is what I hear, but this is what I see. Which one's right? Which one's true? Is God really real? And so again, we need to be careful as Paul goes out in his endeavors, and Paul continues to go for ministry. But when he said he'd hindered them from going to him, again, Paul paid the Roman believers a sincere compliment. Again, their fellowship would refresh him. Look in the verse 23. But having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you. What did Paul mean when it said, but now having no more place in these parts? Paul went to everywhere he could. There's no place left. There was no place left for Paul to go. In fact, it's listed through here as you understand in some of the, again, the geology of where he's at now. He went as far west, high of Rome, that he could go to talk about Christ. And he couldn't go any further. There was nowhere else to go but water. There's nowhere else that he can go. So he came back down. And this is what he's saying in verse 23. He went everywhere he could go, and having such a great desire to see them, verse 24, wheresoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thirdward by you, if first I have somewhat filled with your company. And that's a lot of jargon in verse 25, but what it simply means is what Paul was saying is that I want to come on my way to Spain. I'm going to stop. And interesting enough, as he wants their fellowship would refresh and satisfy him spiritually. Paid him a great compliment. Paul said, it's not that I don't want to stop and say hi and sit down and have a cup of coffee over the table. He said, but my ministry comes first. And now that I've gone as far as I could go, when I come back down through, I want to stop and talk with you and fellowship with you because you will fill the fellowship and the ministry and the spirit of my soul. That's a whole lesson right there in itself. You and I, as children of God, should be living our lives so that we are refreshing to other people around us. That we are refreshing to the believers that are having a rough time or having a bad day. And that's one of the things that I love to do every day. Walk around the hospital, walk around everywhere I go, and try to bring encouragement to people. And today was kind of a crazy day. Brady knows. Brady goes with me every two times a month. He's my little shadow around the hospital. And so we're my little Titus, Timothy. I don't know what you want to call. But anyway, we're one in training. So he was possibly wants to be a chaplain. So we're going to train him up. But watching, I mean, just the different demeanor of people, you know, you're going in, you're helping them, and you're putting a smile on their face, you're praying with them, you're encouraging them. Again, with all of this in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, that's what we need to do every day. We need to be a group of people who other people want to come visit so that they can be encouraged and that their fellowship and their spiritual life would have a joy. I thought, man, that's a tall order, isn't it? That is a tall order. Well, where do you go to get yours? It comes with a personal relationship with Christ. You build the relationship with Christ so you have that joy in you no matter what goes on in your day so that you can be a refresher to those who want to come. Because I'll tell you, there's people in our world, Christians, unsaved alike, they just need a smile. They need hope. They need something to shoot for. And sometimes you may be the only smile of the day. You may be the only person that can come in and say, hey, you know, I'm just thinking about you. Hey, praying for you. Anything I can do for you. And when you make those statements, you encourage them. Somebody cares. God is real because he sent you into my room or he sent you into my life. It's going out into those places. I'm telling you, you got to have the frontline ministry. You got to be out there sharing Christ because people need, they need that and they have to have that. So Paul, again, spiritually, he accomplished that wanting to go with them and wanting to impart his spiritual gift. What was his spiritual gift? Preaching Christ, encouraging them in Christ, mentoring them in the ways of the gospel. That was his gift. He wanted to give that to them. And in turn, as he gave them the gift, they also would no doubt want some harvest among them. Find that in chapter 1, verse 13. Paul wanted to preach the gospel and to save some of them that weren't saved in Rome. I'm going to tell you, just his life is encouraging. And this portion of scripture where he's given his own testimony, he's talking about his life, he's talking about his calling, talking about his ministry, can't wait to get there to be refreshed by other people. And that is the testimony, I think, should be of every child of God. That's what God's looking for. That's what he wants. That's what he has us here for. So I trust that encourages you to keep on keeping on. We're going to look at some verses to follow next week. But I was encouraged by that because I think it's very important that we really apply that to our heart and life. That we are the encouragers. Man, we got the joy. We got Christ in us. We got the Spirit of God in us. We should be smiling no matter what. We should be like Stephen, who was forgiving them, who was killing him in the process. The last thing Stephen had said in Acts 7 was, Father, do not lay this sin against them, and he died. I'm like, wow. Man, would you do that? You get mad when somebody cuts you off in your car. You ain't forgiven him. To have that fortitude to forgive them, man, it's just amazing to me. That's the kind of people we need to be. Those are the people that will attract the unsaved and show them how real God is and show them how big he is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the study. Thank you for the ability you give us. And Lord, as we continue to understand, we continue to study together, I pray that you just allow us to understand it in a way that we can apply it to every day of our life. And Father, it doesn't take much for us to smile. It doesn't take much for us to get involved in some of the situations that we can be involved in no matter where we go. And Lord, if we would just walk in the demeanor, walk as we said Sunday night, being that light in a world of darkness, we attract them out of that hopeless and evil darkness of this world by sharing the truth of the light with them. And God, we just pray that we will continue to do that. Pray that you'll go before us. Pray that you'll have the results of whatever is done. Lord, that we will just see your kingdom grow. And pray this in your son's name. Amen.